I'm your host, Shelley Delaney. You're listening to Juno Afternoon. My next guest today is Charlie Gribben, infection prevention specialist at Bartlett Regional Hospital. Hello, Charlie. Welcome back to the show.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
It's a pleasure and an honor. I know that your time is very valuable. And Charlie, what a year we've had. Before we get started, I would love to know what it's been like for you in your role and how you've held up.
Oh, well, it's been one long year, even the last 4 months. We just finished up April, but I would say that I've learned an incredible amount. I have become a better speaker. Over the last year, I've seen amazing things from my colleagues and of myself, and we've been able to do it together, learning and recognizing what's happening. And over the last 4 months, the vaccination effort has been one incredible experience that I'm grateful for, and I think we're doing really well. I'm holding up remarkably well.
How prepared would you say you were for this? You're an infection prevention specialist. You must have studied pandemics and the potential for them in the past. And then when it actually was happening, how did you feel? Were you ready?
I've been an infection preventionist since 2017. I immediately went to my mentors, Jan Beauchamp, who is a previous infection preventionist here, Kim Vermidal, all my heroes of nurses in the past, and asked them what they learned. I learned a lot before this pandemic, so I wasn't like stepping into a new job and a scary pandemic. And our state epidemiology nurses have been people that I call almost every day at the beginning, wondering what to do. So I've been embraced by both the acute care nurses, my previous mentor nurses, and my public health colleagues. So I've had a lot of good support. It hasn't been just me, and it never is in a public health emergency. You really have to rely on everybody to get the message out and to do what needs to get done. You know, we've all stepped up to the challenge in our own unique ways.
What do you and your colleagues do to avoid burnout? I mean, is there enough self-care in the world to handle something like this?
Oh, I don't know. To avoid burnout, I think we've just been able to, like, you know, we practice behavioral emergencies for patients. And one of the techniques is you get a tap on the shoulder, like you got a phone call, you need to step out. So I kind of recognized when I was feeling burnt out, it was mostly in February and March of this year, my colleagues said, you need to take a break. So they gave me a pass. But I think enjoying the happy things. My partner has been an incredible help, and cartoons and video games actually have been an incredible release and escape. And believe it or not, my public health classmates, I just finished my master's of public health. So big shout out to UAA and all of my public health colleagues and students that helped me get through it.
I cannot believe you were able to finish a master's degree in the midst of all of this. You must be superhuman.
Well, I highly recommend going and having some other thing you need to get done when you have to. You know, it was also an escape for me to not have to, or to have to get another challenge done. I don't know. It was, you know, you can do what you put your mind to. So,
Let's turning back to the status of COVID right now. I was wondering, what should our listeners know about it, about what's happening at the moment as it relates to our community here in Juneau and our healthcare resources?
Yeah, the most important thing for the public to know right now is that, you know, we are safe in Juneau, mainly to, you know, that credit can be because we have a pretty engaged population, and we have no roads, and we really put a lockdown on tourism. So we haven't had the increase in people, sheer numbers. So I would say that when you have that constant mixing of new people and lots of travel, that's where you have higher risk. So travel is still a risk. Meeting indoors is still a risk because the virus still spreads the same way. It's still the same virus. It's mutated and had different variants now, so it's more contagious. And I would just keep in mind that if you're indoors with people from different households, you really should know their status of vaccination right now. And you really should invite them slowly in to be inside your home or go into their home. Another thing we need to be aware of is that our kids are getting impacted not only from the effects of closing schools and having a whole life-changing pandemic that they've been a part of now, but also that they're not able to get vaccinated yet. It's coming up very quick, but they're, even though they're not displaying the same amount of illness that adults do, they're still at risk and they're unvaccinated. So you really need to protect your kids and continue on with the same protections, which is masking, distancing, washing your hands, observing your health, and really knowing who's in your group, in your social group.
I know that there's currently a hotspot for the virus up north. Could what's happening in Fairbanks possibly happen here in Juneau?
Yeah, I mean, you just have to look at how it's spreading in your community. And I checked in with the public health nurses who have been calling all the positive cases locally. And you want to know how it's spreading. So it's still spreading when you're meeting indoors with more people that are unvaccinated. So if you, generally the rule of thumb for us, and which has kept our hospital and our employees very safe, is that we mask when we don't know who's not vaccinated. So in a public space, which is the hospital, everybody wears a mask unless you're in your office and you can control your environment around you. So if you have one person that's not vaccinated, everybody wears a mask. And that's a way to just make it simple. You don't have to make all these decisions on the fly of who's vaccinated or not. And you have to track all these different levels of other people's decisions. You just have a blanket statement of everybody wears a mask here in these spaces. But if we can control it and have smaller gatherings with people that we know who are vaccinated, that's a much safer environment. But yeah, with the kindling on the fire, like Dr. Zink has a lot of, you know, good imaginary ways to think about things. If you have the more people that are unvaccinated meeting together and disregarding all of the protections, like going to bars, going to restaurants, meeting indoors with your friends, and then doing that a lot during the 2-week interval of infection, because the infection period is 10 to 14 days. So a lot can happen in 10 days and you don't necessarily know who you've been meeting with. Those recommendations that we had at the beginning of the pandemic, which is keep your social circle small, are still relevant right now. And that's what should be happening in Fairbanks because their community doesn't have the same level of vaccination that our community does. So I would say, while it's still possible in Juneau that that can happen, the level of vaccination in Juneau is 70% of people have had at least one dose. So that makes us much more protected than in Fairbanks, which is only 34%. So that's the situation. You know, we at Bartlett have a lot of debt and gratitude with the engagement of the community to get vaccinated, because that level of vaccination is what's protecting our patients and protecting us who are taking care of the sick people that get admitted.
That's thank you so much for all that information. And that kind of segues into my next question about vaccine hesitancy. I know it's a huge part of the news right now. I'm so happy to hear those numbers about Juneau, but what, in your opinion, can be done to help us reach herd immunity in Alaska? Rephrase that. Is that even herd immunity is really more of a global thing, really, isn't it? I mean, is herd immunity a term that can be applied to your community or even to your state?
Yeah, the more I learn about what level of immunity we need in the population to protect us all, the more I feel like I don't know. So we have to, you know, have a high level, and it needs to be, the population needs to be the 100%. So it needs to include our kids of every age with this disease. You know, as long as it's spreading and mutating, the vaccines in people help to put a pressure and move it into a different population. So more adults, like we see the 70-year and older population, they're not getting admitted anymore because they're all 93% vaccinated right now. So it's the younger people that don't recognize how much they're mixing with other people. And that's what's keeping this virus alive. So with vaccine hesitancy, I mean, the best message I can, that really hit home with me, and, you know, people might not be listening to me anymore, or Dr. Zink, they might need that one-on-one with their friend or somebody that got it that they see likeness to, so that they can go, oh, you're like me, you got it, so I can get it. And that might chip away at that level of hesitancy. But for me, the biggest message was the virus has a lot of mRNA in it to then replicate in your cells. And it's causing an unprecedented amount of infection, causing inflammation, and you get, your body has to recover from that inflammation. Whereas the vaccine, it prescribes your cells a certain controlled dose, and it's really specific, and it tells your cells what to do in a very controlled way. And you're risking a couple days of side effects versus months of inflammation and recovery from the real infection. So it's just a painful way to go if you're going to get the immunity from natural ways, is a painful and unpredictable way, but vaccination is a controlled and safe way.
That is a really good way of putting it. Thank you. Well, while I know it is important to talk about vaccine hesitancy, which is why I brought it up, I would really like to also talk about vaccine heroes, the people who work so hard to make sure everyone who wanted a vaccine could get it. Do you have any stories about vaccine heroes that you know, or any other healthcare heroes?
Oh, I have been, there's just the amount of engagement and people who wanted to be part of the vaccination effort was overwhelming. And it was really nice to see our retired nurses come back and continue on. You know, you saw Karen White, our retired OB director, Jan Beauchamp, our infection preventionist, retired, Mouse Manowski, she's a CCU nurse for 30 years. I mean, all these mentors of mine coming back to make sure that we were all taken care of. It was just so wonderful to see that. Also, Robert Barr, who basically orchestrated us all to get together. You know, all the people that registered, you know, Jess Brown is our wellness coordinator here at the hospital and at the city, and answering all those questions. The people at the COVID hotline that answered all those questions and got people registered. You know, our quality department at the hospital really rallied around, because we not only gave one vaccine, we gave two. We called all those people to make sure that they had a second dose. All of the, and one thing I really am impressed at, not only for the vaccination effort, but for the community health effort, is our ambulance crew, the men and women at CCFR that are going out and being proactive with making sure people are healthy. And I can call them and ask them to deliver a vaccine now. So I just don't feel like there's anybody I couldn't call that wouldn't be willing to bend over backwards to get somebody vaccinated right now. And that's what we need at this last stage, where we lucky in Juneau are working on our last 30%. And that's, I mean, here we are at the beginning of May, already at that point. I mean, I don't want to pat ourselves on the back that we're nearing the end, but, you know, we are doing really well. And there are more than 500 people that I should list and thank to be, you know, that I have a huge amount of credit in making this all possible.
Well, I know you maybe think it's too soon to pat yourself on the back, but it is important to celebrate successes. I know you must know that too. And I wish that we could just individually thank and reward all of the countless individuals who made vaccines possible here in Juneau, distributed them, helped distribute them, and all the support personnel that helped make that happen too. And also, I think a lot about the people who developed the vaccine, all the scientists working in the labs tirelessly all around the world. I'll never know their names, but I'm incredibly grateful to them.
Yeah, that story is really incredible that we started working on this vaccine platform, the mRNA vaccine that we have now. That's, you know, we didn't think it would be the workhorse of this pandemic, but it has been. And that technology started in the beginning of the 2000s, like 2003, when we had our first SARS pandemic. So, you know, this has been, we are incredibly lucky to be going through a pandemic in 2021 and have all the tools necessary, including our communication, our, you know, sometimes totally frustrating technology, but all of that stuff is like, I mean, we're very lucky to be alive, and there's more good things that are happening in the world now than ever before. And we need to make sure that we recognize that and keep going forward. Like, even with the hesitancy, those questions are things that we need to address and answer people's questions, because they're good ones. And, you know, even though we can't brush off people's concerns and anxieties, we really have to address them.
Absolutely. Well, Charlie Gribben, infection preventionist at Bartlett Regional Hospital, thank you so much for your time. Thank you so much for everything that you've done now and through the last couple of years and even before that, and everything that you'll do in the future. Is there anything else you'd like to say before we sign off today?
Oh, just everyone who is listening, if you know somebody who hasn't had a vaccine, call them up, tell them you love them, and that a vaccine will help ensure that they stay around and, you know, stay healthy. So we need everybody to continue on with this effort, and I appreciate everybody who's doing that.
Well, thanks again so much, Charlie.
Thank you.
Take care. Keep up the good work.
All right, you as well.
Bye-bye.